Thank you. said there was a newlywed couple, and on their ride back from their honeymoon, they stopped at a restaurant. And while the husband was ordering the food, the wife checked in with her mom. And this was the phone call she made. She said, "Oh, mother, the honeymoon was wonderful. It was so romantic. We had a terrific time. But mother, we're on our way back now, and Andy," that's the new husband, "Andy started using really horrible language. Stuff I've never heard before. Really terrible. There were four-letter words, mother. You've got to come get me. We're stopped at a restaurant. Please come take me home. Please, mother." And she was sobbing over the phone. The mother, who obviously knew, you know, the groom, now the husband, said, honey, that doesn't sound like Andy. What four-letter words was he using?" And the new wife said, "Oh, I can't tell you, mother. They're awful. They're just too awful. Please come get me." And she said, "Here, I'm not going to move until you tell me the full extent. What words did he use that got you so upset? What are these four-letter words?" And sobbing, the bride said, "Oh, mother, he used words like dust and wash and iron and cook." Yeah, there are four-letter words that are good four-letter words, like right, love, okay? You know, this is something we do every day. We use words. And this is what the writer of the Proverbs, Solomon, is trying to tell us. Every day we use words. We use words in person like we're doing right now. We use words over the phone, whether you do it on your mobile or whether you do it on a landline, use words. In texting, you use words. On your Instagram, you use words. You write letters, whether they go out as an email or go out as a snail mail, use words. In the scripture, especially in Proverbs, highlight the fact that words are important to know because you can use them one of two ways. You can build a person up or you can tear them down. You can use words to inform a person or get them enraged. You can use words to bring life into a person, or you can use words to suck life out of a person. You can use words to confuse or words to clarify. So let me give you some confusing words. I hope you understand how they clarify. All right, so it's a check. It says, "Why can't you trust in Adam? Because they make up literally everything." All right, so those of you who get it, share with those who don't. All right, there's another one coming, okay? Honestly, I couldn't just look at any after one. I had to give you a second one. A little boy is at home, and he's talking to his mom, and he says, "Mom, I never wanted to believe that Dad was stealing from his job as a road worker." And she said, "What do you mean?" The little boy says, "When I got home, all the signs were there." Hey, words have power. I didn't use it very effectively there, but I confused you at least. Listen to some words that have been given to us here in the United States that have power. All right, just share a couple words here. This is a quote. "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." It goes all the way back to John F. Kennedy. He shared those words in his inaugural speech. To say, it's a different country now. Let's build each other up. Let me give you another quote. Words of power. "And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we'll be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, 'Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty,' or 'Free at last.'" Martin Luther King Jr. shared those on the National Mall as he was trying to highlight the fact that we should be a colorblind society. Here's another set of words. Words of power. "That from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth, By the way, that was Abraham Lincoln. That's the last of the Gettysburg Address he gave in 1863. Words have power. Let me share with you another set of words that have power. A great philosopher shared this with us. I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. Highlighting the fact that when we rest our hearts in Him, we have a new reality. And finally, I'd like to share with you what I think are the most powerful words spoken in the history of humankind. All right, y'all ready for them? It's like this. He is not here. He is risen, just like He said. Those are angel words, telling us on that first resurrection day that Jesus is alive now and forevermore, that what He said is real, that He did come back to life. Now, since words have power, since we have to realize that when we speak, we impact one way or another, it's important we realize we are to use words wisely. That's what Solomon was trying to highlight here in this writing I read earlier today. You see, most Proverbs, throughout the course of this book, of the 31 chapters we have, they have like a dualism about them. They have a one side and another side. So there's either good and bad. It's either wise or foolish. That's what Solomon provided for us across the ages. Let me give you an example. Verse 2 of what I read. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. That's that dualism. You know, the wise do this, and the foolish do that. Let me give you another one. Out of the same section I read, this is verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool doesn't disperse knowledge. Now, I want to highlight the word for wise that's used throughout Proverbs. The Hebrew core of that word isn't something you were born with. It's something you learn. It's a technical term that means a skill you can learn how to use. See, the problem we have in our modern day times, we think that the wise people are wise people, and I can never be like that because I'm not wise. I wasn't born that way. In reality, what the Bible highlights is that wisdom is something you've developed. It's a gift given to humanity, but we have to take that gift and develop it so that we're able to use words wisely. For instance, Martin Luther King Jr. That's what this weekend's about. You know, many of y'all get tomorrow off. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't all of a sudden become a wordsmith because he was born that way. He didn't come out of the womb and say, oh, mother dear. No, he had to develop that. One of my favorite writers, C.S. Lewis, also a great spiritual writer, if you look at his earlier works compared to what comes later, big increase in knowledge. And later, much deeper understanding of the subject matter he's sharing. Solomon has in this section given us a great challenge. To do with this great gift that we've been given to. Seek to use words as one is wise. Develop your skill to use words to impact others in a positive format. The challenge given to us is don't throw words around, especially don't hurt people with them. This isn't the only place that we highlight the fact that words have power, and we're to use them positively. In the New Testament, James, he's the brother of Jesus, wrote in chapter 1, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You see, when you're trying to touch another person deeply, the first thing you have to do is listen. And so don't have an automatic response come out of your mouth in rebuttal to the person who's speaking. Listen first. There's power in that. And the Apostle Paul, another great writer of the New Testament, in fact, wrote almost half of what we have in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul said this about words. This is in chapter 4 of both sections. He wrote, speak the truth, but do always in love. And then later in that same chapter, the Apostle Paul said, put away falsehood. Speak the truth with your neighbor. This is the way the Bible is highlighting we are to use words. We're to touch another. For a grand reality of touching them for Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility as light to reform this world. It's our responsibility to make the difference. Now, where does that come from? It comes from God placing that in our heart. When we say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, when you say that, you're saying, I want to make a difference in this world now. I don't want to do it later. I want to make a difference from this moment on. And when we realize that grace has been given to us, then we are to share grace. When forgiveness has been shared with us, we're to share forgiveness. And when God has graciously spoken to us kind words, that God so loved the world, he saved us, we're to do the same with other people. Now, Solomon even gave us a way in which we're to use words. He didn't just say, be wise, learn how to use words effectively. He gave us the means by which we're to do this. He said, be gentle, be kind. You see, all too often, when someone's mean to us, you know what our automatic response is? This is an emotional, knee-jerk response. It's to be cruel back at them. By the way, that's not the way the kingdom works. If someone's been cruel to us, we're going to be slow to listen and slow to speak. We're to share back words of power, words of uplift. If someone disagrees with us, we're not to say and follow the pattern of the foolish and make more mess out of the mess that already exists. Hey, that's what our government's doing right now. Let's be fair. I mean, we're to make friends. We're to try and share words that are kind and gentle. Interestingly enough, the words that you find in the Old Testament in Hebrew that are kind and gentle, you can translate these words as delicate. That makes a difference, isn't it? Use a delicate word with a person. Or how about a soft word? A word that's tender at its core. And I thought, how can I show this to you? I have an illustration. Sometimes words are like this. You know what these are? These are rocks. Okay? And some of them are smooth. They feel really cool. All right? But imagine if I said, I'm going to throw this word at you, which is a rock. Now, I played softball all the way back into college. And as an outfielder, I loved being an outfielder because the infield is a big area. So you catch the ball, you throw it in, somewhere it's going to hit the infield. Okay? I played infield towards the end of my career. My arm is kind of like erratic. And so if I was aiming at first base, I might hit the pitcher. So if I threw this rock at you, a word at you, it might not just hit you. It might hit someone else, right? Even if it's a really cool, smooth rock. Hey, these have crosses on them. All right? That means they're okay to use to hurt another person, right? Wrong. I even have a very spiritual rock here. It's actually a salt crystal. It came out of the Dead Sea. And can you imagine, in a person's mind, that, wow, you know what? You were mean to me. I'm going to throw it. It's a spiritual rock. Remember, it came from the Holy Land. And you're getting hit with this. It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't draw you closer to Christ. That's not the way we're to do it. We're to take the rocks we know as words and set them aside. So what would be a real soft, tender word to share with you? One that's delicate in nature. And I thought, you know, it not only has to be delicate, but it has to be sweet. Anybody know what these are? They're marshmallows. I have to say, at my youth event once, I was not in charge of this part, but someone was. There was a youth group game. You put marshmallows in your mouth and you have to keep speaking. I thought it was kind of really dangerous, so we've never done it here, ever. All right, swallow that marshmallow. The person that you're supposed to say the word chubby bunny, because it's really hard to say, no, normally, had 17 marshmallows in her mouth. And I'm like, we're never doing that again. I don't ever see that again. And blessed, because I was in charge of the youth event, we're never doing that again, either. But can you imagine throwing these at a person? These are the kind of words we're supposed to use. They're really soft. If I hit you with this, you'd laugh. In fact, you'd laugh when I pulled it out, right? Words aren't meant to be tearing a person down. Words are meant to be like marshmallows. They'll lift you up. They're sweet.
They're smushy. And you know what? They're really good hot chocolate too. So that's the power of what we're asked to do out of Proverbs. We're asked to share words that have a positive impact and can change a person to find Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. We're blessed, Lord God. We're blessed that you have shared kind words with us. Kind words that have challenged as well. Words like, love your neighbor as yourself. Words like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's power in those words, and they're positive in nature. We thank you, Lord God, of the great challenge to use our words to great effect, to bring another person closer to you. May we realize that what we say does that. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.